we're going to discuss this morning the subject of why are we created? Before we go too far, maybe we should go back to worldviews. Say, what do you mean by worldviews? Well, we started, a month ago. Origins. By the way, every worldview that I know of except one and kind of two deals with origins. Buddhism doesn't tend to deal with origins much, and Hinduism much less. And if they do, it's real bizarre stuff. Well, you also have to deal with destiny. Why? Because that's just who we are. I mean, you know, where do we come from? Where are we going? Can I say this to you? This is what makes us human. I don't think do dogs go to heaven? Sorry. I don't think they're thinking about where they came from. It's part of the Imago Dei. Then there's the three big words in the middle, which will be a few weeks out before we get to any of these. Really makes no difference which one you write first. Those are five of the seven. The other two, of course, is going to deal with what went wrong and how do we fix it. And believe it or not, every religion on earth kind of deals with these issues. They deal with them in different ways. All right, no more of that. A basic worldview, and when I say basic, this is really, really basic, is creation, the curse, the cross, and the consummation, which leaves out many important things. This morning, we're going to discuss, are you guys ready? Look at me. We're going to discuss why God created people, but that's not the important part. Before the fall, before sin. Have you ever thought about that? I hope so. We're going to this morning. So before anything ever went wrong, God actually created us, and you say, what was your aha moment this week? Are you ready? Last week, we were discussing God created three things. He created the stuff. We could call that the periodic chart or table. Well, it's called a table usually. Otherwise, the very basic building blocks. Then God creates something like biological life, which normally in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that is either nephesh or suke. Sometimes, by the way, and when the Bible talks about your soul, look at me. It's saying something that most of you are missing because you're looking for a portion of your body. Remember, in Buddhism, and to some degree in Hinduism, the goal of salvation is for you to, look at me, you to disappear. Christianity says you, your nefesh or your suke, will live forever. As Bob Jones Sr. said, I realize that I have to live forever someplace. There's a you. That's the suke. That's the nefesh most of the time. You, as opposed to not you. We also talked about what makes you human. Don't get nervous. This doesn't make you human. Animals do have life. And to some degree, they're distinguishable even among themselves. To some degree, at least some animals. Well, what makes us human is this. And here's Pastor Warren's breakthrough in my own small mind. Do you know what the answer to that question is? Do you know what this is? What's the title of your notes?
Why?
Were you what? That's going to describe to you, and that's going to define what the Imago Dei is. Once you look at me in the eyes, once you understand why God created you, then you will also understand Imago Dei. They're the same. By the way, animals don't share in any of these four. How do you like that? Only we do. So that's what we're going to discuss this morning. The Imago Dei. Why we were created. So you don't have to pray and make up stuff. You're going to find out real quickly in Genesis exactly why we were created. Let's look at Genesis 1, please. Let's all stand together. Genesis 1, verse 26. Much of this is found right up front. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, and who did God speak to? Well, the triune God. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. He's just using two different ways of describing this. But what makes God unique? Well, what's really interesting is it's kind of related to the purposes of man. And he says, and let them have, what's that say? Something that we do. Dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And if you're reading a different translation, you don't have to get into creepy language, okay? But it's just talking about all forms of animals. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, imago Dei, created he him, male and female. So both male and, by the way, do you realize there's been preachers that say women don't have the image of God? They have, Eve had the image of Adam. You know, you just, some of you still haven't figured out what a Billy Baptist is. If you don't, you heard a Billy Baptist if you listen to it. Right. Making up stuff. And boy, we make, there's Baptists that make, and you just, where do you get these dumb ideas from? Verse 28, God blessed them. Now, of course, he hadn't even talked about them yet, Adam and Eve. He's going to talk about that in some more detail in chapter 2. Don't get carried away with that either. It's not a technical description of how we were created. But it says, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. So you're talking about being fruitful. That's having children, grandchildren, spreading the, you know, the humanity, filling the earth, subduing the earth, having dominion over the earth. These are the purposes of which God created us. Chapter 2, verse 15. Again, uses a word that's fine, perfect, but it doesn't mean it sounds weird to us. Genesis 2:15. This is after the second description, which with a little more detail of how God made basically Adam and Eve. It says in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man, there's no woman yet, and put him in the Garden of Eden for two purposes, to dress it and to keep it. We're going to talk about those in a moment. Let's pray together, and we will get started. Father, I ask your blessings on this Sunday school hour. May this be a good morning as we discuss and understand the imago Dei in man. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Why were we created? So that is our question this morning. So we get to the why. So I'm going to, everybody look around here. There's people in this room that have young children. There's some others that teach young children. What are you going to teach your children about life? I'm going to share four simple ideas. They're obvious. They're absolute. There can be no question. These aren't interpretive. On the other side, what you ought to be thinking about all morning long is something totally different. So do you like to bounce? Here's where I want you to bounce to. You ready? What are the substitutes for these? If these answer the question, why were we created? My question is that you ought to be thinking about what is the opposite? What do people do as opposed to these four? Rick Melvin helped me as much as anybody, not on this particular, when he went on deployment to the Middle East. And he went on deployment to the Middle East during COVID, where young men could not go off the base. By the way, do you know what most young men do when they're alone? Please take everybody, take a breath. They play video games and watch porn. Let me ask you a question. Do you think video games and porn are the purposes why you were created? Now, it's another question that goes along. Are you all with me? Not sure yet. I'm not going to yell and scream. I think this could be a discussion that we could have for a month in this Sunday school. Because we do a lot of things that are not why we were created. And I'm going to assume this. If we were created for certain purposes, probably meaning comes from fulfilling those purposes. We do all kinds of other things. All right. In your notes, well, this is number one. Pretty obvious, pretty straightforward. And the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Gone and in. I like that. And he did for a purpose of what? To dress it. And that's a funny way of expressing this. And to keep it. Shamar is the basic idea. I'm not going to give you any of the Hebrew. It's just, they're important words. So in your, I'll give you the point in a minute. To dress it means this. A better word that I would, you know, modern way would say was this. To cultivate it. To work it. To till it. So God put man in the garden. By the way, Eve is not even created yet. For the purpose of, and it's, you know, of serving it, you know, cultivating it, tilling it, working the ground. Keeping it has about what you would think. It's a word that means to guard, to keep, to preserve, and protect. So right at the beginning, God put us on earth with a purpose, and here's our first purpose. That is so simple. God created us to work. All right, so let's everybody answer the question. Raise your hand. What's the opposite of work? Doing nothing? What else?
Playing.
What else?
Sleeping.
So, got to rest. Rest is important. But, let you know. All right, what else? How about amusement? Do we have a problem in America with amusement? My friend Mike this morning said we were meeting in my second office. Don't ask where that is. Only a few of you know. And he said something funny because last Sunday night we were at Culver's. You didn't come. And you're to blame. We were at Culver's and they come and they run us out of there because somebody has threatened to do bodily harm to the people in the front that are at the window, and the police are there, and we had to leave. So he wants to do some excitement. And I said, well, I'm not going to Culver's tonight. I'm staying home watching the Grammys. If you believe that, you've been smoking something for a long time. By the way, if I want to see people that hate God, hate America, I'm not going to waste, I don't waste time on anybody that hates God and hates the country that makes them wealthy. Thank you very much. But my bigger problem is, why do we need to watch this? Why do we need so much amusement? By the way, God created us to? Right? Now, there's something, everybody take a breath. Let's go back to the worldview. When was this?
Before sin.
Before sin. All right, let's go ahead and move forward in your notes. I hope you're all with me. Do y'all get this? How many people don't work? Wow. And I want to say this. If you retire, you don't retire for entertainment. You retire to do some other kind of work.
That's for sure.
Do not think retirement is watching TV, because you're going to go to heaven if you're saved about 10 or 15 years earlier. And you're going to be bored when you get there. And then you're going to learn something. Everybody look at me. Have you read Revelation 22, when the curse is removed? It says, and his servant shall serve him. You're going to be working in heaven. Oh, my goodness. In your notes, Genesis 1:28. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. All of those are terms about work. In the very beginning, God created. One of the shocking things, I read it in a book on work about 20 years ago, and the guy said this. He says, when you read every worldview under the sun, there's one thing that should blow you away. The living God works. He starts out working. And he made you. No, in his image, to work. You say, well, I don't like to work. Well, we'll talk about that, but not much, because we don't have a lot of time. Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his what? Can you imagine? Our God works. By the way, the Son of God worked for your behalf. It's called the finished work of Christ. It says, which he had made, he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. So you're getting all those words we talked about last week. He creates, he makes, he forms. He goes on. Verse 3, and he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now I just have some very, this is not a whole sermon or anything. It's just it's basically saying, what's the Imago Dei? So when we look at God's purposes, here it is. All right, in your notes, very simple thoughts. Everybody works. And in my way of thinking, everybody must work. You say, why? It's the way God made us. You say, well, I don't like to work. And yeah, that's your problem. Next, some work, and this is my Navy habit. I will confess to you that the first time I was introduced to this was in the United States Navy. So all of my sailors here, I learned this in the United States Navy. I'll say it as I have it written, but I'll say it a different way now. When I got in the Navy, it was the first time I was ever exposed to people that worked very hard at not working. It's the weirdest thing I'd ever experienced. Look at me in the eyes. I'm being serious. I'd rather work. You work to get out of work? Why would you do that? Just do some work. And I saw it every place. People asked me back in the dark ages, what was your experience in the 70s in the Navy? Here's what I experienced. A large percentage of worthless individuals, and then weirdly, the opposite, and not a lot in between. People that were excellent and people that were worthless. And the worthless group spent their whole life trying to get out of work. I find it easier to work. All right. So I say in your notes, some work hard at not working. None of this is new, and Pastor Warren could spend weeks, but I'm just teaching Sunday school. I would say this, learn to work and learn to love work. If you want to know what your kids hear in my Bible class, my good daughter, you know what you hear, what your son's going to hear every week? He is not going to hear go to college. He is not going to have a pastor tell him what to do, except this. Fine, here it is. Find some kind of work that you love and shut up. Why do people spend so much time hating what they do? Part of it is they just hate work. They don't know how to work. And I don't get it. I don't like every kind of work. There's things I don't like. I have to do some of it. And some of it I don't do, which I should do. We won't go there, Pastor Kawan. Be quiet. Right over here. I heard this in a song. I still love it. It's one of my favorite things I've ever heard. Something to this effect, your last point. Find something you love and call it work. Find something you love and call it work. Now, I want to say this to my good daughter. Your son will also hear this. When I say work, I do not mean drug dealing, prostitution, you know, hitmen. Has to be honorable, has to be something that contributes to society, but find something you love. Can I ask you a question? Do you know what you like? Can I say this? Many kids today grow up because mom and dad, from the beginning, hand them a device because God knows the kid's what? Happy with the device. Say it, happy. You realize happiness is going to teach your kids the opposite? Watch a little kid. I have a couple. I don't have them. You have them. Those grandsons. You know what's weird? When they're young, they want to always help mom and dad. Why don't you fan that flame? That way, they're growing up. There's nothing wrong with a little entertainment, but they're growing up learning to love to work. All right, this is a compliment. I won't say it about Tom Lynch, but I will about Christy, though it's true of both. Have you been around their children? Have you been around Superman? Does he know how to work? Good night. Of course, how would he grow up in that family with mom and dad not knowing how to work? By the way, I'm assuming he likes entertainment too. But can I say this, friend? I don't care what work you do. See, we get all fixated. Oh, I got to go to college. What are you going to go to college for? Do you realize certain kids should never step any within 1,000 miles of a university? Tim Durham, I love to watch the man work. Gifted with his hands, creative in his mind. Should he have gone to college? Why? So he could learn business and work at the local, he's the guy in charge of the auto parts, and of the three, he's like the assistant. He should be working with his hands. By the way, even if you go into medicine, I'm assuming our medical people know this. There's a lot of different kinds of medical, too. Some doctors like to operate. Some people, we do all kinds of things, friend. So, can I say this to you? God worked. He made you in his image. Guess what? You know what the Imago Dei is? It has something to do with working. Got it? Can I say this to Tim over here? A lot of pastors don't like to work. You know, how do I know that? I've heard everything they're going to teach in the first month I hear them. And they don't have it. I talked to a guy that was probably younger than me now, and he told me, I haven't read a book of theology since I graduated from Bible college. My first thought, and this was 34 years, my first thought was, you should get out of the ministry. You don't like to work. Yes, my work is going to be different. Now, we got Angie back here. Angie, you already know this. You got to pass your, sooner or later, those medical boards, correct? Then you're going to have to do a residency, and you got to pass the residency, correct? And then, I don't know if it's 5 years or 10 years, you have to re-up your boards down there. Is it 5 or 10? I don't remember now. Specialty. Why? Because they want you to keep up with things and keep working and learning and growing. By the way, it's work. You say, I don't like that kind of work. Well, find some kind of work you love and call it work. What do you love? What are you passionate about? All right. By the way, most of Hollywood is passionate about one thing. Not making movies.
Money.
I would tell you yes, but not totally. Actually, they're more infatuated with being adored. They have to have people adoring, and that's it. You talk about a perversion, and what do you do when people aren't worshiping you? Well, that's the reason you have so much drugs in the Hollywood scene and suicides, and you're wondering, what's wrong? Folks, that's not work. And I would tell you, probably even in that world, the people that do the best actually like the work. Not the, oh, look at me, I'm so, oh my goodness. All right, number two. Well, this is nothing deep here, friends. This is kind of obvious. Genesis 1:26. Let's see if you can read it from the text. And God said, let us. So in the beginning, God was triune. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Got the us's and the ours. And let them have dominion over the fish. It goes on in verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. In verse 28 says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Genesis 2:18. We can spend a lot of time here, but it's not important for what we're doing. He says it's not good that a man should be alone. What are the big problems the kid had? By the way, I see these every, at least once a week. The Atlantic has a new article on why teenagers are depressed. All right, why are teenagers are depressed? Look at me, there's not a deep thing. Because they're not fulfilling the purposes for which God put you on earth. And they're trying to find meaning. Do you have a phone? I have one upstairs. They're trying to find meaning by looking in their face, at their belly button, and their emotions. And I wonder who I am. Am I a male, or am I a female, or am I maybe I'm a turtle? Oh, shut up. So you think I'm being mean to the person? No, I'm talking to you. People are always depressed. They don't fulfill. Why did God put you here? So I'm going to say this. If you don't work, I'm being ugly. If you don't work, find something to do. Not entertainment. Because everything bad comes when we don't fulfill the purposes for which God put us on earth. And I'm not telling you to go out and get another full-time job. Don't hear me wrong. Find something to do. And the second concept, are you ready? It's not deep. God created us in relationships. Relationships. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. By the way, God himself said it's not good that man say it. Guess what happens to people that are into entertainment? They spend a lot of time alone with their entertainment. And by the way, for a while, it makes you feel good, but then you're right back. By the way, the thing that makes life worth living, anybody in this room, everybody knows I like Jim Duncan. I love the guy. You know one of the things I like most about him? What are they doing on vacation?
For other people.
They're going seeing folks. They saw your daughter. I saw a picture. I was jealous, but I saw pictures of your daughter and your, what are they, niece maybe? Or I think it was a niece and some other evil people, Tim and Debbie. By the way, they're with people. Are you with me? They're trying to, you know, connect. I talked to somebody last night for about an hour. I wish I hadn't. Tony and Rachel Cardenas. I love Tony and Rachel Cardenas. Talked to Tony, talked to Rachel. She had her 75th birthday. That's insane. They've been married over 50 years. I think 55 years or some ridiculous amount. Talking to Tony and Rachel, and then he just said, oh, yeah, Jim Fawn's coming down here not too long. It's like, great. Thank you for reminding me. I think they're going down to see your son graduate. By the way, do you understand? Look at me. I'm speaking to everybody. Turn your noise off. Associate with people. Not chit-chat. I should be around people doing something and investing in relationships. Or you're going to die a lonely person, depressed, in your little corner. Why? This is what God created us to do. By the way, I say it again. Before sin ever entered in. This isn't about religion. This is about why God created us. Can I ask you a question? Does God have relationships? He has relationships with himself. He has relationships to the angelic beings, even with Satan, strangely enough, and the demons. And he has relationships with people. The image of God means that in some ways, we're like God. God works. We work. God has relationships. We develop relationships. When I was a kid, I thought that's how people lived. No, now I find out. By the way, do me a favor. You come to my house anytime this week, except if it snows. Come to my house, make an appointment, say, I want to go walking with you in the neighborhood. This is what you're going to find. Does anybody know what you're going to see in houses? Tom, what are you going to see in houses? I mean, I'm not looking in windows. You can't help it. What are you going to see? The TVs. The little room. Mm-hmm. You see the lights.
Right.
Except Mexican families. Strangest thing on earth. They're the only ones in my whole area that have porches that they actually use.
Yeah.
And there'll be 14 people out there, family, friends, and I'm thinking, what happened to, I'm not saying they're not Americans, that's not my point. What happened to us where television, our video games became our friends? I'm asking you a question. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, America is a seclusive society. It's a society where
I didn't grow up that way. I don't think people were. I don't think you grew up that way. It's become that way. Tom, go ahead.
Watching my family generationally, as yours, I'm sure was for a while. My family were farmers back in the day too. But we hit a point in the 30s with the Depression, and we came out of that in the war. And I was told this by my family that lives in this area still. They wanted everything for their kids. And so what happened was is there was a shift in everybody working and them just giving the kids what they wanted and didn't have. It happened even in my family. People were given things they didn't have because the parents didn't have it, and therefore the work ethic started doing this, sadly.
Yeah, and Tom hit on it. He also didn't mention this, but we also have to mention coming out of the Great Depression after World War II, what was created? No, no, radio, television. By the way, radio's not a problem, Tom, you know what? The old programs, which I'm guessing you can still get in some weird places on radio, they were good for the imagination.
But things became more available, like television did, to where you started having a lot more stuff on there, as opposed to having trouble even finding.
I would say that many people I have met their whole life is regimented by television. When the Super Bowl comes out, we haven't ever gotten back after COVID to a Sunday night service. Not mad at anybody, not about that. We all have lives. But before that, our church service was very consistent on Sunday night, except on Super Bowl. And we had people that I gotta watch Super, and I'm like, I'm not opposed to you watching the Super Bowl, as if you really care about which team won. And if you really care, you couldn't tell me 3 years ago who won, because it's just entertainment. I would tell you my own father, and I love him, he got worse and worse, some of it with age, because he always had an avocation that he loved, work. But with age, the television dominated his life. Go ahead, Don.
Well, and a couple other things I hit too. I mean, when we hit the 80s, we ended up with 24-hour television, which we didn't have before.
Yes, and that means, look at me, everybody in this room, if you're under probably 40 in America, you cannot even remember a time that didn't exist hardly. You know, I know how many TVs were alive. First of all, you were born so far back, but we used to have three or four television stations, and they went off the air at 10:30 or something like that at night.
Here we had a lot of Chicago and Milwaukee.
Well, it was the same stuff.
It still turned on.
And it still went off. But I mean, you had basically ABC, CBS, NBC, and you had a public radio station. I mean, a television station, and then later on a Fox station. I can remember that. Of course, I grew up so far in the country, it didn't work. I'm not preaching. Look at me, everybody. Don't you miss my point. When you retreat to your entertainment or sleeping, realize you are destroying yourself, because God created you to work, and He created you in relationships. And if that is the imago Dei, meaning that mirrors who God is, God works and God relates, you think you're going to find meaning in some other place? And Tom, with the advent in, was it 2012 when the smartphone came out, whatever year it was, now we have just go out to meals. We used to think it was just teenage boys. Now it's the whole family. You go out and there'll be a whole family. Every one of them's on a device. Don't talk to each other. And I'm like, you're like an animal. You can eat in your pig pen. Go ahead, Tom. Did you have something?
In fact, I watched a special last week on the 90s, and I forgot this. It backed up to the 90s, because that's when texting became available.
Texting started. But man.
Because they added games in, too. There was two or three games that were involved, too. And they brought this out in the article that is what started changing everything with how people responded and how they acted out in public. They plugged in and connected this way, and it started in the late 90s. They were doing it already.
Wasn't
as big.
But when you got to the internet, and by the way, I love the internet. There's nothing better on earth. And yes, I have games on my phone, so just so you know. I don't know where they're at, and I've never seen them, but I'm sure there's games there somewhere.
Yeah, because think of the 80s, and Christy just reminded us, music. Everybody was carrying a boombox around. Everybody still listened to it. Until...
Not
today.
I wasn't here.
She has two boombox. She has one on each shoulder. Can I say this, friends? I said this publicly in church. I'll say it again today. My father never adapted to the technology of television. You know what adapted means? Where he could use television for good purposes. It simply became, when he came home, when he was tired, turn the television on, sleep in front of the television. Adapting to technology is very difficult in a healthy way. Phones are wonderful. Of course, half the people I call never return a call, because they don't use it for that purpose. I'm not sure what they use them for. All right, we're going to move on. God created us. By the way, all of this is the Imago Dei. Number three, it's at the bottom. This is a pretty obvious one, I think. God created us for worship. What's worship? Well, I think worship, I'm not referring to music. I'm not even referring to church, because look at me. Was there a church when Adam was created?
No.
There was no formal religion. We're talking about worship in the sense of a relationship with God. Prayer, and as it moved forward, Bible study, obviously, hearing scripture. The Bible is very rooted in text, but obviously at the beginning it was not there. Let me ask you a question. Does God worship? Well, no, but God is worshiped. So the fundamental issues of the image of God simply reflect who God is. You want to talk to kids? Let them play all the time. Give them a device that makes them happy. And let me say this, Tom. You think it's bad. I see it in my broader family. Not the two guys that are here. Parents simply hand the kid a phone. So that kid has grown up being entertained from the very... When I was a boy, I need to bring my unsafe... I've tried to get him to come. He's so nervous about so many things. When I was a boy, nobody ever had to tell me to go play. They had to drag me inside. I didn't need anybody to hold my hand. Play? Are you kidding me? When I say play, I'm talking about all varieties. Softball, you know, all kinds of sports at school. When I was home, I was outside. My mom would have to call us in. And, of course, I did things that would scare mothers to death today. I did. Grew up on a farm, 280 acres in the hills, along the Mississippi and Illinois river basins, thousands of acres. I would sometimes leave home and not come back till supper. No kid could do that. Oh my goodness. If a parent can't see Junior, they're dead. I mean, I would just go play. Did my mom worry? I don't know. God created us to worship.
What number were you?
You're
the third child, right?
Yes.
Mom wanted to be quiet in the house, right? That's why she was perfect.
Truthfully, Tom, I don't even know. Because we always had work to do.
Well, she was busy working too.
Well, back in those days, as you know, your parents would have been, and your grandparents especially, everything was manual and...
You had to make food.
You know, cooking and all that took all day. Women didn't work outside the home because they couldn't. I mean, everything took all day. Every piece of clothing we had was ironed. Remember, this is for you people that aren't that old, pre-permanent. They don't even call it that anymore. We used to have names for it. You had to do all of that, yes. Well, let's go to the next page. God created us for worship. And lastly, all of these relate to God and the Imago Dei. God created us, and I don't have a good word for this, friends. In some way, God created us, I'm just going to say it this way. God created us within a system. God created us within a system. Read with me Genesis 2, please. I'll explain that system in a moment. This is not deep. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested. Now, I don't think he was tired, but he was establishing a pattern that God established for us. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. He not only rested, but he blessed that seventh day, and he sanctified it, meaning making it special. Now, friend, we're Christian. We're in the church age. We set aside the Lord's Day. But on any way of thinking about this, God himself established, I'm going to write a different word here. We all understand things differently. God himself seemed to invent this concept of rhythms. I got a question for you. If you don't have to get up tomorrow, what time do you go to bed? Don't answer. I know what time I go to bed if I don't have to get up. Same time I did the night before, the same time I will the next night, because I live my life probably for 40 plus years on rhythms. Teenagers, because number one, don't know how to work. I'm not saying universally. Many don't know how to work. By the way, Just John, one of the nicest things about your son and Michelle's son, and I like that guy, he can work. You come in here and you even do work for Mrs. Nichols sometimes, and this bossy woman bosses you around, doesn't she? Can I say this to all? You got to work. You have to develop healthy relationships. You have to have this same worship of God, and you have to learn to live by rhythms. Now, when Tim McGrail was here, his corporation, some of you remember this, they did major studies because they had people that were always hurt at work. And guess what they found? It's called circadian rhythms. You can look up, you can Google it, it's on, you know, Wikipedia. And it's basically this: people who do not live their lives in a rhythm get hurt a lot because they don't rest properly, they don't work properly, they're doing everything upside down and backwards. So basically what it teaches, what I learned from this massive study was this: if you go to bed every night at 11 o'clock, you never vary that over 1 hour either direction. If you go to bed at 11, from 10 to midnight, you're good. Past that, you start suffering from jet lag. Mm-hmm. Guess what teenagers do? I don't have to go to school tomorrow. They stay up till 4 in the morning and they sleep all day. Do you realize that's fundamentally not the way God made you to do things? Now, if you have a day off and you say, Pastor, I need a little extra sleep. Look at me. Sleep in an extra hour if you can. I can already tell you this. If I try to sleep in, it works exactly the same every time. I wake right up. It's just like it just doesn't work for me. I set an alarm 99% of the time, except if I'm overseas, upside down. What do I need an alarm for? I'm going to wake up at the same time because I go to bed at the same time. Are you with me? By the way, get out of whack, you suffer. You cause your own body to have jet lag. You know what I find? I find adults, 40-year-olds, still living like teenagers. They have a night off, they stay up till 4, they sleep all day, and it's like, you don't get rest that way. Why? Stop. Before the fall, God created rhythms. Read the text real quick, please. Exodus 20, verse 8. What's the first word?
Remember.
Which tells you what? Yes, and they also knew about the Sabbath before this. It wasn't like, oh, you know, Moses created the Sabbath. Are you kidding me? God did that. This rhythm, 7 days. Genesis 8:22 takes it even further. While the earth remained, seed time and harvest. Cold and heat. By the way, you know it gets cold in Chicago. It also gets August in Chicago. I would prefer August to skip. I would prefer to skip August and probably January, February. But we have both. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. In your notes, and we'll do this quickly. God created us. I know this sounds really petty. God created us within His world. It's His world, not our world, and not our fantasy. I say in your notes, His world consists of cycles. He tells us about these cycles. They're the daily cycles, you know, day and night. By the way, when do you work? Unless you have to work in a hospital setting. And I will tell you this. We have a nice, normally very sweet young lady. Normally, except to me. You have to work midnights, right? By the way, midnights messes up your life. Then you have to search for the rest of your life how you're going to make this a rhythm. And I found for me, midnights were impossible. If I worked days or if I worked evenings, and we didn't do 12 hours back in my day, they were perfect. Because I can go to bed about the same time. But midnight's a mess. You've got to figure out how this rhythm works. By the way, God created it. You cannot violate it. You have to figure out a way of getting this rhythmic cycle in your life. You have weekly cycles. That's called the Lord's Day and the other 6 days. You have seasonal cycles, and there's all kinds of different seasons. You have yearly cycles, which would include special times and events. By the way, that would include like vacations. That would include a weekend off to see family. All of that's part of this. But it's a, look at me, friends. It's not chaos. Stop. And it's not OCD. It's rhythm. Just like your heart beats, Angie, in a rhythm. And what happens when your heart beats out of rhythm? Is that a good thing? It's rhythm, friend. I'm sorry, we're going to be a couple minutes late. I'm going to give these to you. I say in your notes, God created us to live according to those cycles, or if you prefer, rhythms. God created us to live according to those two rhythms. Lastly, we live contrary to those cycles to our own detriment. That's a fact. So everybody look at me. Why were you created? What are you going to do with your children and grandchildren? What are you going to teach? Religion? Or are you going to go back and say, we're made in God's image. What's God's image? Well, I know I've had some people tell me, not here, but in other places, when you're a human, you have a spirit. Other people said, no, here's what makes you human. Everybody look. We all have the stuff. We all have life. The Imago Dei, which is exactly God. God works. God has relationships. God doesn't worship, but he is worshiped. And God created the very world in which you live, the rhythms. That's where you find meaning. You don't find meaning in 4 more hours of binging a television program. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name.